Earlier this morning, I searched on YouTube the term social media. The first 19 results, the first 19 videos YouTube showed me were videos which really questioned the use of social media, highlighting its harms to society, the addictive potential, how these large corporations are taking advantage of us. They are selling our data, they are selling our attention. And only after 19 videos, they were like criticizing social media. There was one video which wanted to explain to me how to get more followers and how to build a social media following. So the first 19 videos were seeing social media in such a negative way. And this is not in some like really like alternative underground forum. This is on YouTube. So we basically all realize the destructive potential of social media. When you talk to people, like, what is one behavior that you wish to quit? So many people are saying, oh, spending so much time on my phone, spending so much time on social media, so much time scrolling through Instagram, and I really want to change that. So we basically all agree that we need to change our approach to social media, and that these big corporations are not creating a product to enrich us, but something that we need to be really careful not to get sucked into some kind of rabbit hole. And I was wondering, why is it the case that we basically all agree on that, but still, like, all of us are spending hours every day on these platforms? And especially with the youth, Gen Z, that is growing up right now, that is growing up with these devices, that are growing up with having an Instagram account from age 12 on, like, the destructive effect it has on their behavior. When you look at studies highlighting the amount of teenage suicides, the skyrocketed since the advent of social media, because more and more young people are deriving their self-worth from what they are seeing on these platforms. And they are comparing their inner world with the outer world of these influencers that they are following. And this is a game that we cannot win. And that has a tremendous, tremendous effect on society, on our mental health, on our behavior, on our consumption. It's so crazy. Over the past years, during the pandemic, I watched a video sharing that over the pandemic, the one industry, besides all the like digital space, of course, people spend time at home. It was an incredible business boost for all the digital companies, for Meta, for Netflix, for Google, and so on. But the one industry besides that didn't take any dip during the pandemic, but actually gained so much, was the luxury goods industry. And that at first was like, because like so many people lost their jobs, you would think that where they would give their money to would be like to housing, to food, to maybe traveling, finally being able to travel again, for like going to festivals, meeting people, going out for dinner. You would say that people spend their money there, but no, actually so many people spend their money for the Louis Vuitton handbag or for the nice watch. And I was wondering, why is that the case? But of course, During the pandemic, everybody spent so much time inside, so much time on their phones, so much time on social media, scrolling through other people's highlight reels. And on social media, everybody appears way happier, way more beautiful than they are in real life. And of course, what is a huge contributor to that? Status symbols. And what was even more shocking, that the demographic that is increasing the most over the past years in the luxury goods industry are people with low income, with income under 40,000 euro a year. These people that are barely struggling to get by spend their hard-earned money, which is not in abundance, on the next Louis Vuitton handbag because they see the influencer on Instagram having this exact same handbag and they think, I need to get that. Like, and it makes me so sad. Like, they spend maybe their last money not on a nice vacation or not on good food or on fulfilling some kind of like dream, doing a world trip or whatever they wanted to do, like really deep down in their heart, but they spend it on the handbag. What the fuck? And the more I'm digging into this rabbit hole of the effects of social media onto our society and onto our like collective and personal lives, the more I'm questioning what is to do. And yeah, I'm feeding this machine. I'm feeding this machine for the past 10 years. 2013, I started my first Facebook fan page for the first business that I founded. And since then, over the past 10 years, I created thousands of Instagram posts and thousands of Facebook posts and way over 1,000 YouTube videos. And I was feeding this machine a lot because, yeah, it helped me. It helped me spread my message. It helped me arrive at the point where I'm at right now. It helped me to build a huge online community. It helped me to create all these amazing things that I was fortunate enough to create over the past years. It helped me to put me out there. So it's a beautiful tool to reach in a very easy way, a lot of like-minded people. And that's why I was using it for the past 10 years. But now I'm at a point where I really sense that there is a shift necessary. There's a shift necessary and that I don't want to support these huge corporations that are building products not dedicated to the enrichment of the 3 billion people who have a Facebook account, but only for the enrichment of the small amount of advertisers advertising on these platforms. Because, yeah, we got trapped in this assumption of, oh, there's something I get for free. I have like for free, like I don't need to pay anything in order to build an Instagram following. I don't need anything to navigate on Google Maps. I don't need to pay anything to send emails on Gmail. I don't need to pay anything to watch videos on YouTube. We got so trapped in this for free lie, which is a lie. It's not for free. It's not for free. Yeah. We are the product being sold to these advertisers. Not we as human beings, but our attention, or to be more accurate, the slight shift in behavior that occurs because we get influenced by all these ads. This is what gets sold. Like me doing my things and living my life and then getting the right targeted ad that evokes some kind of scarcity reaction inside myself that propels me to think that I need X, Y, Z in order to feel more satisfied, to feel more happy, to feel more beautiful, to feel more whatever. And then me taking action and buying this product, this is what's getting sold. Like the slight shift of behavior that is like nuanced. We don't even like consciously are aware of what is really happening because of this algorithm that exactly gives us what we think we need. Because that is the business model of these corporations, it's inevitable that it is detrimental for us as users. Because we as users are actually not that important, because we don't bring the revenue. Like, every entrepreneur knows that you cater to the people that spend their money, like your customers. Your customers are the most important people in your business because they enable you to do your business. And when the 3 billion Facebook users don't pay a penny, yeah, they are not as important as the advertisers who are paying billions. And that's why the product is optimized for them and for their return on invest and not for our well-being. So in this podcast, I want to dig deep into the world of social media. I want to propose like potential alternatives, and I want to really dissect how could we have arrived at a point where this is like playing such a huge role in society, and that it's so crazy. Like here in Indonesia, I have the feeling that it's even worse than in Germany where I was born. Like a week ago, I went to the cinema, and before the movie started, there was some advertisements, and then the screen went black, and there were a couple of minutes before the movie started, and in these couple of minutes, they were like, I think I was basically the only person who went into the cinema alone. Like all the other were like groups of friends going there wanting to have a great time. And then between the advertisement and the start of the movie, for this couple of minutes when the screen went black, there was not a single group of people actually talking to each other, like about the movie that they are about to watch, about their day, about what excites them, about each other, about their feelings, about whatever they could. Like, there's so much to talk about, but every single person in the cinema reached for their pocket and grabbed their phone. And then there were like groups of friends, like five of them sitting in one line, everybody on the phone. And what are they doing on the phone? I guess not learning for their like studies for university, but of course spending time on Instagram, spending time on Facebook, spending time on TikTok. And yeah, I think we as society are invited to question whether this is something that is really beneficial for us or not. Because why is social media so addictive? Because it gives us this constant dopamine rush. Every like, every new follower, every comment, every share, every retweet, every notification we get is this feeling of, okay, there could be something important. And of course, we as human beings, we are social animals. We are social animals. Like our instinct tells us it's important to be part of the group. It's important that other people like us. It's important to be included in your tribe. And social media takes advantage of this desire, of this like innate, deeply ingrained desire. But it feeds us this desire in a way that can never really fulfill it. but it gives us this false, like this false feeling of connection. Every like, every share, every follow, every retweet is like a tiny portion of this connection, of this feeling of you're part of the group, you're accepted, you're liked by other people. But an infinite amount of it can never fulfill this, like a real hug could do, like a real intimate conversation with a dear friend. Like, this is like real connection. And what we get on social media is like a fake version of it, but a lot of it. And that's why, like, five friends coming to the cinema together, when there is time to really talk, they don't talk. And it's much more convenient to spend some time on the phone. And they were all, I was looking at their phones, it was so interesting. They were like writing messages and commenting on posts and sharing things and whatever. They are communicating with other people while they had real people, real friends sitting next to them. What the fuck? Yeah. And this is not by accident. This is not by accident. Like, these big corporations are hired people from Las Vegas who are experts in how to set up like a successful casino, because like the principles of gambling are used for these social media platforms. And the addictive potential of gambling is so strong, because of course there are many times that we lose, but there's always this anticipation of maybe I could be winning, maybe like one more game on the slot machine, one more spin on the roulette table, and then maybe from time to time we get the hit and we are successful, and this propels us to play more and more and more. And it's the same underlying principle than on Instagram and all these platforms. And when I heard that the top level executives that really build these platforms, that are running these businesses, don't give like smartphones with these pre-installed apps to their children, they actually don't allow their children to use their own products that they build. The moment I heard that, I became really, 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 really aware of what is going on here. Because you might say, like, the product that you are building, you need to be proud of. It needs to be something of value, and you want to, like, my past episode, I talked about my nutritional journey over the past 13 years. And the moment I started eating raw vegan, I was like, everybody needs to know this. And I wanted to like convince everybody. I wanted to spread it everywhere. I want to not only my son, but everybody else to eat this way, because I think it's like my personal truth. But when these top level executives actually don't allow their children to use the devices that they build at work, yeah. Then I think we need to talk about that. Yeah. Especially in the teenage years, when our psyche gets developed and we are like really fragile. When I think back, I'm actually beyond grateful that when I was 13, 14, 15, there was no social media yet. I was born in 1990. Started using Facebook and MySpace when I was 18, 19. So in my puberty, that was not a thing. And I'm so grateful, because in these years, 13, 14, 15, I was really fragile. I was really fragile, and I was not one of the cool kids at school. I was small. I had lots of acne, and I was one of these kids really susceptible to the harmful effects of social media. So I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful that it didn't exist back in the days, because, yeah, especially these kids who are not like successful by standard means are prone to sitting at home and scrolling through what all their friends are saying and doing and all these influencers that they are following and just feeling bad because everybody on social media looks way more beautiful than they look in real life, appear to be way more happy than they are in real life, because of course they are only creating content when they are feeling good. And the times when they are feeling bad, they don't create content. So we like measure ourselves against these fake hype. I wouldn't say fake, because I think most of the people creating content on social media actually do it in a genuine way. But basically, just through selection. You don't create a story when you feel bad, you create a story when you feel good. Just through selection, the person on the other side of the phone is prone to feeling bad because of all the positivity you see there, and you compare that to your own life and you're like, okay, most of the time I don't feel good. There must be something wrong with me. And this is why we see this huge ascent of teenage depression, teenage suicide. And yeah, I'm so grateful that something like this didn't exist when I was 13, 14, 15. But yeah, the generation that is growing up now is really prone to that. Yeah. You could come to the conclusion that the people who invented these platforms are bad people that just want to take advantage of society and that just want to just there to exploit in order to earn money. But actually, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that these platforms were invented out of really the genuine desire to bring value into society. And there is a lot of upsides of these platforms. In the beginning, I shared that I was only able to start my business and spread my message and quit my studies and become a full-time nutritional coach, which I loved so much at the time. I was only able to do that because of these platforms, because I started a Facebook fan page and then I created a Facebook group in order to connect with my audience, and then I sold my ebook and I sold my coaching program, and the people bought that, and I was able to like find exactly the right kind of people through other Facebook groups, people that were already interested in what I was doing. So it's amazing. It's amazing. It enabled like small entrepreneurs. It enables them to really start their business and connect with their audience and be free, and that's beautiful. And at the same time, today's green juice is, I put in a lot of papaya leaf. Today's green juice is pure elixir of life, very bitter. So yeah, it's amazing. It enables us to spread our message, and it enables us to connect with people. When I look at the people that play a huge role in my life right now, I met almost all of them through social media, because they were not living next door to where I was living. The more you become an alien, the more you're questioning like the basic assumptions of life, the more you're stepping outside the normal life, the less likely it becomes to meet like-minded people next door, and the more amazing those social media platforms are, because you can connect with exactly people that are interested in the same things than you are interested in. That's beautiful. So there's a lot of upside. There's a lot of upside. And I think, I genuinely believe that these platforms were invented by the deep desire to bring this upside into society. I strongly believe that. But the moment where it all went downhill was the moment when these platforms needed to decide upon a business model. In the beginning, maybe you watched the Social Network, the movie about the invention of Facebook. In the beginning, there was no business model. It was just Mark Zuckerberg coding in his dorm bedroom and creating this platform. In the beginning, there was no need for money. But then when it grew and they needed to hire more employees and it was like, oh, we actually can earn some money here, then they hired experts, which were assigned the task to figure out like what is the ideal business model, what how can we monetize that. And of course the most obvious and the most simple version would have been, okay, we just charge the users, like everybody who wants to have a Facebook account pays a couple of bucks each month, like the standard business model. You get a service and you pay for that. But these people thought like, it's actually not that easy to get people to pay for that. We could grow much faster if we would offer the service for free and find another monetization strategy. What if we would collect all this data that these people are giving us through the posts that they are creating and through their behavior on the platform? What if we would collect all this data and offered that to advertisers and told like the sneaker company, hey, I have like perfectly targetable sneaker enthusiasts for you, and you could directly talk to them and you could sell your products to them, and we charge a tiny fee for that. How does it sound like? And for the sneaker company, it was a dream come true, because before they needed to advertise on billboards on the street or on TV or in newspapers, where they reached some sneaker enthusiasts, but they reached as well so many people who didn't care about sneakers at all. So for them, it was like, oh my God, what a like the perfect marketing tool. And they put all their money that previously went to TV and to billboards, they put all their money into social media, into advertising on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Google and all these platforms. And as a result, the consumption lifestyle, like that accelerated over the past couple of years so strongly, the consumption lifestyle that we all are living in this world got fired up like intensely. Yeah. Because Facebook and Instagram in the beginning maybe were platforms in order to connect with friends and to share what you are up to, but pretty soon through the business model it morphed from a place to hang out with friends to a virtual shopping center that is open 24/7 and that exactly shows you like the things that you are interested in and gives you a discount at exactly the right timing, at exactly the right time when you are most prone to buy something. So the, I believe, good intention of bringing people together slowly went to the background and got replaced by the target of selling as much ads. And therefore these companies got insanely wealthy. I just checked in the revenue. 2022 Meta did $116 billion in revenue. Google did $280 billion in revenue. They belong to the most valuable companies in the world. And this shows us that data is the new oil. Like in the past, we exploited this planet. We exploited like Mother Nature, and that was really lucrative. John D. Rockefeller is the man in the history of this planet with the highest net worth. And he got so insanely wealthy because of oil. He was one of the first to capitalize on getting oil out of the earth and refining it and selling it. But this is nothing compared to, it's so crazy. Like in the past, we as human beings exploited nature. A couple of days ago, I watched a documentary about the, it really inspired me, a documentary about the Białowieża Forest. This is the only primeval forest that we still have in Europe. Like the only forest that was not manipulated by human beings, but is actually still like wild, like how it grew. That really shocked me. There's only one place in Europe. It's on the border of Poland and Belarus. There's only one place in Europe where there's like you could call it a natural forest still. And I watched a documentary about it. And a beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful place. And there was a war going on between environmentalists who wanted to protect this gem, like the only place in Europe. It's so crazy. They wanted to protect this gem, and then big corporations who saw, oh, there's a massive amount of wood we could harvest and we could sell. And there was this strong war going on. And I think over the past centuries, we as human beings more and more exploited nature. Getting the oil out of the ground, harvesting the wood. Like we see this planet and everything this planet offers to us. We see this as a resource that we can harvest like blindly, that it just belongs to us. And this is why human beings got so rich, and we build all these crazy cities. And that was the dominant attitude of exploiting nature. But all this reached a totally different level when social media started, because now we are not exploiting like the physical world around us. We are exploiting each other, or put in other words, like the small percentage of people running these platforms are exploiting everybody else, because the data is much more valuable than every tree you can cut down or every barrel of oil you can get from the ground. And this shows these revenue numbers. Like Google and Meta combined $400 billion in revenue. And the majority of this revenue comes from these advertisers, from companies, from all these sneaker companies, and from all these companies who see that they can get access to the people that are prone to buying something from them. So the consumption life, like the basic assumption of I will be fulfilled, I will be happy when I consume, when I buy something. Like this gets perpetuated through social media so much. Yeah. And even you could say, like, maybe you're asking the question, okay, but what does this have to do with me? I'm running my business on social media, and it's nice, and I'm like launching my courses, and how could I do that without social media? Yeah, it's a valuable tool for me. Like even for us as creators, I started to really question what is going on here, because like we all are speaking of my Instagram followers, of my Facebook community, of my YouTube audience, but it's actually not yours. It's not yours. Like all your followers belong to the platform, and they can remove you like in an instance without needing to justify that, because it's theirs. It's theirs. Every photo you upload belongs to the platform. Every connection you make belongs to the platform. And when you dig a little bit into this, you realize like how many people are banned, are deplatformed, are shadow banned, get their reach limited because they say something that is not that the advertisers don't like. It's so crazy. You could say like the internet is there for free speech, that you can just share your point of view, and you can share your truth, and other people who with whom that resonates can create value, can get value out of that. But it's not working this way. When you are saying something that the advertisers don't like, the advertisers have the power to say, oh, actually, we don't want to have our ad placed next to content about these and these topics, because we think it's not good for our brand. So either we take our ad budget off the table, or you as the platform remove this kind of content. And with this power, guess what will happen? Of course, the platform will listen to the advertisers and remove content that is not in alignment with what they want. So there were moments like I know of so many people within my like immediate contacts and friends that lost access to their accounts, that got either hacked or got just banned from social media, be it temporarily or permanently. I know people who needed to start like all over again because their account got just removed without explanation. So even though we think for our marketing and for reaching like our people and selling our products, it's so great, it's so valuable, just think about which consequences would it have for your business if like tomorrow you would lose access to that. And this could happen anytime. This could happen like any time. So we realized that we concentrated way too much power, like way too much centralized power in the hands of these platforms. Yeah. It's so crazy. We get exploited big time, and still feel good about it because we think like, oh, but we get this for free. Like we could build our social media following. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy how we are thinking about that. Mm. And it's very important for me to shed more light on this and to really bring awareness what's going on. Even to the creators who are using these platforms, because if we as creators would stop using these platforms, guess what will happen? The users won't be using these platforms anymore as well, because there wouldn't be so much nice content anymore. And that shows us like it begins with us. It begins with us. Yeah. And it's our invitation to be conscious what we are doing through putting out all this content. And I want to share with you how running my business on social media really impacted how I am, like on a really deep level. because what is working on social media, what gets a lot of attention is everything that is hyped, like extremes, polarization, like something that is very exciting, something that makes you very angry, something that is very sad, like all the extremes of our emotional spectrum work really well on social media. Because when somebody is scrolling through their phone, everything is just like average. It's easily like gets scrolled by. But when there's something that evokes some intense reaction, then people stop and then people watch. And of course, since through the underlying business model, it's the goal that people spend as much time on social media as possible, there needs to be content that that lures people into like sitting on the toilet and 40 minutes going by, and then you are like, oh, okay, what did just happen? Okay, wow, I need to get on with my life. I just got sucked into this rabbit hole. And this happens through extreme content. And I shared a little bit about my personal journey in one of the past podcast episodes, that now over the past couple of months, I feel that I arrive at a groundedness and at a peace that I never felt in my life. And a strong contributor to that is that over the past months, I spent not a lot of time on social media, and I spent not a lot of time creating social media content, and not a lot of time consuming social media content. When I watch videos of me from 3, 4, 5 years ago, when I was like a heavy social media user, where I was creating content like every day, posting multiple times a day on Instagram, doing daily vlogs on YouTube. During these times, when I observe myself, how I acted, how I spoke, how I was, everything was so crazy. Everything was so intense. Everything was like the most incredible thing ever. Like this hype mentality was something that I embodied deeply. But this is not who I am. I'm actually a very chilled, very relaxed person. I really like sitting here enjoying beautiful Bali nature, or being at home and listening to slow piano music and just munching on some papaya. I really like the slow life. I really like and enjoy just like the small things in life. But somehow, through becoming a social media content creator, I got sucked into this behavior of hyping everything. And even the way I spoke like really fast. And I was not very grounded. I was not very chilled, because I was not aware of that. But reflecting now, I think back in the days, I believe that I need to be this like super active, super fast, super hyping, super like moving your arms and while talking, in order to make people listen, in order to get attention. I thought that this is what I need to do in order to get attention. And it worked. Social media showed me that works. I reached a lot of people. I built a great audience. I sold a lot of products. So it really worked. And this reinforced my behavior. Yeah. That's crazy. Like the way we would behave if there was no social media around, And we would just be like ourselves, grounded in nature. Maybe we would be something. We would be someone completely different. I strongly believe that we would be more relaxed, that we would be more patient. Like patience is something that gets, patience is a quality that gets lost nowadays because of social media. When you have your phone in your pocket and entertainment is just like seconds away, and when something is not entertaining anymore, you scroll past it and then you find something else that entertains you. In such a world, patience loses value. Because we don't need to be patient anymore. We can get everything at a click. Can get everything at a swipe. But the really valuable things in life cannot just come by a click or by a swipe. The really valuable things, like really developing strong relationships or growing your own food or raising your spiritual capacities or building a strong body or raising a child, all these things that are really meaningful take years. They take years. And social media distracts us from that. And yeah, that manifested in the way I ran my business. It was always predicated on the next big launch, on the next big thing, on the next viral video, like really with a narrow focus. For a long, long, long period, I was there with a very narrow focus on the quarterly goals. We want to reach this number. We want to reach this revenue. But even in entrepreneurship, if you want to build something meaningful, you need to have a broad perspective. You need to optimize for 10, 20 years. You need to optimize for decades and not for quarters or months or weeks. And it's like the same pattern is visible on both sides, both for the creators and for the consumers. Like patience gets lost. Gets really, really lost when we spend time on these platforms a lot. Even you see that even in the kind of content that performs well. When I started on my social media journey back in 2013, 2014, I posted a lot of long form videos, like 15, 20 minute YouTube videos. That was totally normal. Or like long text posts on Facebook, that was totally normal. But nowadays, what you see is like 30-second reels and short TikTok videos. Even like YouTube embrace this short form video content. How do they call them? I think they're calling them shorts. I didn't produce or watch them, but like all the platforms, you can call it the TikTokification. Like Instagram adopted it, Facebook adopted it, YouTube adopted it. Like stories, reels, these short videos that are as crazy and as dynamic as humanly possible. This is what performs well. This is what gets viral. And of course, somehow, even though we are maybe very relaxed, very grounded person, we get lured into creating this kind of content. For me, it's like now I finally arrive at the kind of content that I want to create. Like really sit down for an hour or two or even three and dive deep into something that is really meaningful with the goal of broadening perspective and really spreading truth and really digging deep into the essence of a topic. This is something that I enjoy more than everything else. But when I look back on how I created content, I did a lot of like short videos and quick stories and inspirational snippets, because I thought, okay, this is how you need to be on these platforms. This is the kind of content you need to produce. But actually, I was just feeding this attention machine that doesn't serve anybody except the advertisers. But I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. And it's not just on a personal level. It's not just on a for the individual that they waste their precious life scrolling from one quick hype reel to the next. You see that on a collective level as well. I can highly recommend you to watch the documentary about Cambridge Analytica on Netflix. This was a company that used all this data provided by Facebook to influence like elections, like major political campaigns. They were involved in the Trump campaign when he got elected as president. They were involved in Brexit and a lot of like political campaigns. They use these data to spread mistrust, to spread untruths, to spread like lies about the other party in order for their party to get elected. So it's not only on an individual level that we see like really important qualities in our lives that get eroded, and we become this attention seeking, short-term oriented, like headless chickens running around. It's on a collective level as well that the manipulation takes place. Yeah. It's so crazy that I just checked the numbers. Like all the incredible amount of revenue that Facebook is making, if they would abandon their advertising business model altogether and charged $3 a month of every user that they have, they would make the same revenue that they are making right now. $3 a month. So for $3 a month, we could like exit this hype machine. Like for $3 a month, we get sold. Like our attention, our lives get sold for $3 a month. That made me just like shake my head. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? These companies get so insanely rich because of all the ad budget that they earn. But if they would charge $3 a month from every user, they would make the same money. And of course, you could say like not everybody would pay $3 a month, but if you're not willing to pay $3 a month for this platform, I think then the platform really has an incentive to level up, to provide more value. When you pay for something, it gets more valuable. Like, this is why Netflix is so successful. And Netflix has the right business model. You pay for Netflix every month. And I'm happy to pay for Netflix. I don't watch a lot of Netflix, but every now and then I check out a documentary or something that really, really interests me. And paying $10 a month for that, I'm happy. I'm happy to do that. I'm really, really happy to do that for the, I don't know, 3 movies a month I watch. It feels good. It feels like a really good deal because the quality that I get is great. When I compare that to the free quality I get on Instagram or I get on TikTok, that's nothing. That's nothing. Because when I pay for something, the quality gets better. So if Facebook would charge $3 a month from from every customer, they could fire all their majority of their staff that are involved in this advertising and algorithm machine, and they could even build a better product that is optimized for the benefit of the 3 billion people they have. Yeah. So yeah, I don't believe that the people running these platforms are evil. The problem is the business model, and underneath the business model is the financial system that we're living in. Why are we exploiting nature? Why are we like cutting all these trees? Why are we taking all this oil out of the ground? Why are we mining all this data and selling it to advertisers? Because we are living in a financial system that is that needs growth. We need to find more and more and more opportunities how to monetize, how to turn something that was previously not monetized and turn it into a commodity, into something that can get sold. And this is because of our financial system that is built on debt and interest-bearing debt. I don't want to go super deep into the financial system. Let's save that for a future episode. But this is underneath all of that, because we build a financial system that's like a hungry monster that needs more and more and more and more and more. And because of that, it becomes creative. Like, and then it takes the tree and it takes the oil and it takes the data and it gets really creative. What else is there that can get monetized? Yeah, I was wondering someday, like even clean air will get monetized. A couple of days ago, we've been to Jakarta for an appointment at the embassy, and there, like seeing the bad air quality there, I would have paid for clean Bali air. Yeah, the lower the quality is that you get for free because of all the pollution when you're living in a big city like Jakarta or in China or in New York or wherever, the more people would pay for fresh, clean air. But yeah, let's not get into this topic. Even underneath the financial system is the, like on the deepest, deepest level, why we created this mass is the consciousness of the human beings. Because we as human beings created all of that. We created this financial system. We created these companies with this business model that lead to this destructive behavior. Underneath all of that is what Charles Eisenstein calls the story of separation. When we live our lives from a place of from an assumption that we are separate beings, separate from everything around us, and our survival depends on us taking all the resources in order to feel safe, in order to secure our survival. If we live from this place, it makes totally sense to create a financial system like this that extracts value out of other people and out of this planet. Then it makes totally sense. So I believe we cannot solve this problem with just forcing these companies to with stricter guidelines and policies that they need to respect and so on. I think on the deepest, deepest, deepest level, if we could step like collectively into a new story, then all of the symptoms would disappear as well. Yeah. We are only so prone to wasting our time on social media and to scrolling mindlessly and to getting targeted by the right ad in the right moment and buying something that we don't really, really need. We are only prone to that because we live our lives from a place of lack, from the story of separation, because we believe that we are we are separate individuals. And when we would realize that we are actually all one and step into the story of interbeing and have an experience that we are all interconnected and that we are living in a world of abundance, like on a planet that is spinning around in space, on a planet that gifts us with everything we need, with fresh air, with clean water, with fresh fruits, with sun. Like, literally, we live in abundance. The only reason why we don't live in abundance anymore is because we don't see it and we destroyed it. In Jakarta, I realized that there is no fresh air anymore. There is no sunlight coming through all the smog anymore. There are no banana trees and papayas growing there. No, it's just like fast food restaurant after fast food restaurant. Yeah, selling processed packaged food. So yeah, everything begins in us. We cannot change the whole system all at once. But if we change, then the system changes as well. Yeah. Automatically. When we wouldn't spend so many hours every day anymore on these artificial devices, comparing ourselves with all these people that we see on these platforms, but if we would actually feel good inside ourselves, and if we would be like confident, mature beings that are connected and grounded, yeah, then these systems would change immediately. So the more I dug into this topic, into all the dynamics that are at work there, the stronger my dedication got to empower people and to remind them. It's not even, I don't like the word empowerment, because it's not about empowerment. Nobody needs to empower you. You are already beyond powerful. You just need to be reminded. Yeah. Everything that we are doing is like connected. When I spend so much time on these social media platforms, I wasn't sitting in meditation for 2 hours a day that I'm doing right now. I wasn't feeding my body with only like the cleanest, freshest, most pure foods that I'm doing right now. I wasn't getting proper sleep, going to bed at 10:30 every night, waking up early, waking up refreshed. I wasn't living in a place immersed in nature. I wasn't doing all of that. And that's why, because I was not living properly, that's why I needed to get this good feeling from another place. And that's why I was prone to falling for the addictive potential of social media. So everything is connected. We cannot live in an artificial world and say like, okay, I need to get rid of this force that's pulling at me. Of course, it's when we are living lives in the pandemic, we all realize when we are living like isolated lives, yeah, we have a strong innate desire for adventure, for connection, for experiencing something. And yeah, when there's nothing going on around us, then we fall prey to these dynamics. So it requires a change on every level. And then, like, when I'm sitting here, I really enjoy creating this podcast. Not because of like everything that's going on then on YouTube when it's uploaded and da-da-da-da-da, but for me, for bringing order into my own thoughts and for reflecting topics and for really understanding how the world works. I really enjoy that. But what I enjoy even more is when this episode is finished, sitting here in this, when you're watching to the video podcast, you see the beautiful setting that I'm located in right now, just sitting here on the grass and taking my, where's my half watermelon? Oh yeah, here, under the microphone. Taking my watermelon and sitting in the sun and having my lunch and just being and listening to the birds, listening to the wind, the palm trees. And then afterwards, getting ready for my afternoon meditation, spending an hour in silence. Like this is pure luxury. This is pure quality time. This is something that no amount of social media quick fix can give you. Yeah. And still I'm doing this podcast because I believe it's really important to spread truth. It's really important to spread messages that are valuable for people. But the problem with social media is that it's not a tool anymore. Like when Gutenberg invented the printing press and we created books, like I think nobody would argue whether coconut just fell down. I think nobody would argue whether books are a good invention or not. Of course, books are amazing. We can spread knowledge everywhere. We can like no matter where we are, we can learn and we can educate ourselves. That's amazing. But the difference between a book and a social media platform is that the book is a tool that we can use when we see fit. When I believe that this book is valuable for me, I pick it up, I extract value out of this book, I learn, I get inspired, I get entertained, whatever. And when this book no longer provides value for me, I put it on the shelf and then it sits there until I come back and say like, okay, now that could bring value to me again. And then I pick it up again. So it's a tool. It's a tool like a knife that is valuable for slicing my watermelon and preparing my breakfast. So these are tools. We as human beings, as a species, evolved because we learned how to harness tools. But social media is not a tool anymore. Social media is something that demands attention by itself. It's not sitting on the shelf waiting for us. It's demanding all the time. Like imagine a book that is sitting on the shelf and every time you enter the room, the book says like, hey, pick me up. On page 58, there is something really, really, really important that you absolutely need to know. But I won't tell you what. Pick me up and then you will see. Like imagine having such a book on your shelf. How persuasive that would be. You won't only pick the book up when you see fit, when you feel the desire, but you would pick it up all the time. And that's the same thing what's happening with social media because of all the notifications, because of the dopamine rush that we get when we receive a new follow, when we have a new like, when we have somebody who shared our video or sent us a message or whatever. It's demanding our attention all the time. Not being just a tool that sits there and provides value for us when we need it. It's something that demands attention like all the time. Not for our enrichment, but for the enrichment of the advertisers. We already talked about the business model. So what I want to do is not feed the social media machine anymore. Like over the past months, I barely created any Instagram content. Only when a new podcast comes out, I put a short teaser there and together with the link and say like, hey, there's a 2-hour podcast. If you want to stop scrolling mindlessly and want to dive deep into this topic and invest a lot of time, then you can click on the link and you can do that. And I know that for most of the people, that's not interesting. When I compare the numbers of the podcast with the numbers I get when I post a short inspirational video on Instagram, it's something completely different. But that doesn't dictate what I do, because no, like, even if I would get 5 million views on some short hyped inspirational content on Instagram, I wouldn't do it, because it brings no value, neither for me nor for the people who watch that. I want to bring real value. I want to go really deep. I want to really, really, really enrich people's lives. And this is something that, as we already talked about, takes patience, and this takes time, and this takes really going deep. And that's why I create these podcasts, even though I reach only a fraction of the people that I'm reaching when I do daily Instagram stories. But I don't do daily Instagram stories anymore. When there's a podcast, I say, hey, there's a podcast, and that's it. And that's it. But I can totally see a day when I quit Instagram altogether. Yeah, I can totally see that. But until then, I try to use it as a tool. I try to not get sucked into it. And with all the awareness that I got about the dynamics that are at place there, it gets a lot easier. But even though I know all of that, I sometimes get sucked into Instagram, and then I watch videos for 20 minutes, and then afterwards I'm like, what am I doing here? And this even happens to, lately I watched an interview with one of the former Facebook executives, and even he, like, he turned away from his earlier profession, and he even regretted building these platforms. You find, like, when you dig a little bit into YouTube, you find a lot of, I will link some of the videos in the show notes, you will find a lot of people who in the past built these platforms and then afterwards realized, shit, I was actually doing society a disservice because of what we built here. Yeah. And then they aimed at educating the public, educating the people what is going on there. But it's an Oppenheimer moment. We cannot put the genie back in the bottle. Like, when Oppenheimer invented the atomic bomb, even though he regretted it later, it was still there. And yeah. And then Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed. And it didn't matter whether he regretted inventing this. It was there, and it was available for bad actors to use to spread hate and to kill. Yeah. And it's the same with social media. Like, even though the inventors now regret what they did, it's still there, and the people who are sitting at the steering wheel now use it to their advantage and to the advantage of the advertisers. It's so crazy that like, for most of the platforms, the founders, Mark Zuckerberg is the exception, but for most of the platforms, the founders who built this platform, later when the platform grew, they actually left it. Kevin Systrom, the founder of Instagram, is not part of Instagram anymore. Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, I watched an interview by him, and he's working on a decentralized alternative that is not extracting all the value and enriching only like the elite at the top, but he's working on creating a technology that creates a distributed social media, which is a step in the right direction. Yeah. In our reInvent conference, I had the honor to interview Justin Rezwani. He is the founder of a platform who's doing like similar target. There are nice alternatives being developed, but still, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, they dictate our lives still, and it's a long journey. It's a long journey. And the hype gets stronger and stronger and stronger, like with the development of the content that gets viral on these platforms. Like, yeah, Most of the people don't take the time to watch 20 minute YouTube videos anymore. They even don't take the time to complete 30 second reels. They watch 4 seconds, and when they are not like, when it's not enough hype, when it's not enough like extreme energy, then they scroll past it. There's this saying that we now have an attention span less than the attention span of a goldfish, and we can only laugh about that. It's sad. It's really, really, really sad. Yeah. Yeah, look, educate yourself, look it up. There are some great videos on YouTube by former executives who built these tools. You can check out Jaron Lanier, you can check Chamath Palihapitiya. Yeah, there's a lot of content over there. So yeah, educate yourself. That's really important. That's really, 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 really important. So for me, what action steps do I take out of all these realizations? Drastically reducing my social media consumption. I'm like, nowadays I'm on Instagram like once or twice a week. When there's a new podcast episode coming out, I share that with my Instagram audience, because I know it's a nice segue to get people into the podcast. So I use that, I put it out there, and then the day afterwards I check in again to see if there are like any comments or any messages that I wish to answer, and then I do that, and then I'm out for the rest of the week. No Instagram anymore. And that feels very, very good. That feels very, very, very good. And I try to use these tools as the tools that they need to be. Like when there is a subject that really interests me, I go to YouTube and I watch videos about that. I educate myself. Like the topic that we spoke about today, like on social media, I watch a lot of YouTube videos about that. And that's beneficial. I use it as an education. I use it as the book on the shelf that is there to educate me, that is there to serve me. And the moment I realize, oh, it's not beneficial for me anymore, I learned a lot. I learned enough about this subject. I'm done. I put the book back on the shelf, and then I only pick it up again when I need it again. And this is how we should use these platforms as tools and not as these attention demanding monsters. And this begins with drastically reducing our time there, or maybe taking a period of quitting it altogether. Yeah, we only see the addictive potential of these platforms when we actually get rid of them. So you can make the experiment. Are you able to do that? Are you able to stay off of social media for a month? Or for 3 months, or maybe even for a year, and then afterwards check in. Which amazingly rich life you get as a result. Yeah, we're invited to spend more time with other people, spend more time in nature, spend more time alone, spend more time in meditation, spend more time doing like long 2-hour afternoon walks, spending more time with our children, spending more time with our pets. These are the things that at the end of the life are really valuable. I think nobody will say, I wish I had spent more time watching TikTok videos before they are about to die. No. And everything begins with mindfulness. With mindfulness, with really checking in, what is going on here? What am I doing? Am I picking up my phone first thing in the morning to check my notifications? Or am I starting my day with a nice long meditation? Or with some journaling? Or with a workout? Or with something that really enriches us spiritually, physically, mentally? This is how we should start our days, and this is how we should live our lives. And not dictated by this digital devices, and at the same time utilizing the potential they bring. It's nice that we now have the opportunity to have, like, that we now have access to all the books in the whole world with a click on an app, and then we can get all the books in the world as an ebook, as an audiobook. That's amazing. I'm living here in Bali. There is no huge bookstore. When I'm interested in a topic, I open the Amazon app and I get the book as a Kindle version or as an Audible version. And that's amazing. That's amazing. But spending time on Instagram mindlessly and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and feeling more empty afterwards than before, or being in a constant dopamine rush out of, like, notifications every 5 minutes because you got a new follower, or you got a new comment, or you got a new message, or you got a new share. Like, this is not contributing to our physical or mental or spiritual evolvement as a human species. Yeah. So this is the invitation that I want to put out there. To use these tools as the tools that they should be, and consume in a mindful way, and consume, like, deeper, longer content. Read books, like, dive into 8-hour audiobooks, watch 2-hour YouTube videos, like long form podcasts. Dive into things where the energy of the people that created them was really, really dedicated on this subject for a long time, where they really spent a considerable amount of time and effort to create that, and not this quick Instagram reel that was created in 7 minutes, and then afterwards, yeah, the next and the next and the next and the next and the next. I want to learn from people who dedicated their life, who dedicated years or decades into creating this piece of content. This has real value. This has real value. Everything else is just like quick fix inspiration that doesn't nourish us. So yeah, this is what I'm taking out of all of that. Focus on the podcast. I really, really, really enjoy doing the podcast. Focus on the podcast. Continue to create these long-form episodes where I dissect very important topics and I dive deeply to the core. And at the same time, I feel a strong desire, and that's why I'm very excited to share that with you. That's why I want to put an invitation at the end of this episode for you. If you really enjoy my content, and if you sometimes think, like, oh, it's really sad that Robert doesn't create daily Instagram content anymore, because I really enjoyed, like, spending time daily with him, and watching to a podcast once a week is not enough. I want to dive deeper, and I want to connect more. I'm starting a Telegram channel where I have the opportunity to share what is on my mind, to share my individual journey, to share the books that I'm reading, to share the learnings that I'm having, maybe on a daily basis, maybe multiple times a week. Just like, I'm going really intuitive, really with flow. But nowadays, like, with the deep process that I'm in personally, like, multiple times a day, I have this feeling of, oh, there's something that I really want to share. But I don't want to put it on Instagram where it's just like scrolled by, and where I don't know which people really are there. I want to really develop deeper relationships. I want to know. I really recently had a conversation about this topic of, which impact would it make if you would actually know who are the people that consumed your content? You don't know that on Instagram. You just put it out there. You just put it out there, and then it's gone. And then maybe it will bring value to people, maybe not, but you don't know who's there. But the like I, like I find it very, 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 very beautiful, like this image of I create something and I exactly know to which people this content is going, and then I can interact with them and we can really, really develop, we can really develop a connection over weeks, months, even years. This is something that really intrigues me, and this is something that I want to create. That's why I'm starting a Telegram channel where I put, whenever there's something worth sharing, I put it out there. Sometimes it's a voice message, sometimes it's a video, sometimes it's maybe just a link to an article I just read that brought tremendous value to me personally, or a book that I just read, and I put it out there, and you are invited to take whatever is of value for you out of what I'm sharing. It's like totally distributed through all kinds of topics. Could be one day an impulse from the fields of entrepreneurship, then next day something about nutrition, something about philosophy, something about relationships, whatever is there in my life. I see myself as a human guinea pig, as someone who tries, who experiments, who really tries out everything, who tries to dig deeper into the core of the essence, and to share that. And then it's your invitation to take whatever brings value out of that. And the Telegram channel that I'm hosting is not coming with a fixed price. That's really important for me. I believe in the concept of sacred economics. Got inspired through Charles Eisenstein a lot. Can highly recommend you to check out his book if you're interested in alternative financial models, financial systems. How can we create a more beautiful economy? I will create definitely a podcast episode about that in the future. So many people ask me, like, how is it working? Like, you're experimenting with the gift economy a lot. How was your journey? I want to do an episode about that. That will come probably soon. That it's very, very that is very important for me, because I don't know how much value this Telegram channel will bring to you. Maybe for somebody it will totally change their lives, and they feel the desire to contribute a lot. And for somebody else, it's just something nice that brings value every now and then, and they contribute a few bucks every month, and that's totally fine as well. So who am I to judge what is the ideal pricing for that? You can choose what you want to contribute, and this is totally up to you. I put the link in the show notes. There you can get more information about the Telegram channel, and you can sign up if this podcast brings value and you want to connect with me on a deeper level, and want to get the small impulses that are flowing through my system every day, every hour. I'm pregnant with this idea of starting this Telegram channel since a couple of weeks, and like every day I'm thinking, oh, if this would be there already, that would be so nice. I could be sharing this, I could be sharing that. But yeah, I cannot create these podcasts like every day, and I don't want to create like a podcast that is just like 5 minutes and put the setup and everything. No, these podcasts are like for these 2-hour deep dives. But for everything else that I wish to share, there was no outlet before, and I don't want to continue to feed the Instagram monster. Yeah, that's one thing I like about Telegram as well. It's much more privacy conscious, data conscious than Meta. It's not perfect. I would love to have built this on Signal. I think Signal is an even farther step in the right direction regarding data, regarding privacy. But Signal currently doesn't offer the technical requirements for that. You cannot start a channel, and you cannot have this automated subscription. It's not possible right now. Maybe if they offer a feature like that, I will switch to Signal. But for now, Telegram is the best option in my opinion. Yeah. Even for personal communication, encourage everybody to step from WhatsApp to Telegram or to Signal, because WhatsApp is part of this machine as well. WhatsApp is part of Meta. I try to use WhatsApp less and less and less. All right. The link to the Telegram channel is in the show notes. I'm super excited to start that. I'm super excited to share a lot. And yeah, curious what will emerge for you out of that. Thank you for the patience to dive deep into today's topic with me. Thank you for your time. I really honor your attention that you gifted me your attention. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. I wish you an amazing day and hope that today's episode inspired you to go out into nature more, spend more time with loved ones, spend less time on social media, spend less time consuming mindlessly, and using it as the tool it should be, picking up the book from the shelf when it's bringing real value to you, and not when you are bored or when you're feeling lonely or some other kind of state, when you're prone to the addictive machine that it is. All right. Looking forward to continue the conversation on Telegram. See you there. Bye-bye.